Recording in progress.
Great to see everyone this morning. And, here we go. Wonderful to be with you. I had planned to be there in person, based on the fact that, because it's Father's Day, it's really important to be there, to be present. But, I had a speaker all lined up and he canceled on me. So, I couldn't find someone else to fill in, on short notice. So my sincere apologies, for not being there, in person. And, I know I might have made someone nervous by not being here on right at 11 o'clock. So I hope I didn't make you too nervous, to my dear friends there. It's good to be with you here at Parkhurst Chapel. It's been a while since I've been with you, as a father, I also want to wish my fellow fathers and potential fathers, okay, and individuals who maybe you don't have children, but you have been a father to someone. Now, I want to say before we get this message going, I want to say to you the following. This message is devoted towards fathers, but I want to be clear. The principles that we're going to talk about apply to parenthood. And yes, fathers represent a very important dynamic in the life of a family. But we need to understand that these are principles that transcend all the family roles. So with that in mind, let's just ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together here. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the example of fatherhood. And our prayer today is that the message spoken would be a blessing to each one, that would be an encouragement. And even, Lord, if there needs someone to have a readjustment in their understanding and their purpose as a father, as a mother, as a spiritual father, Lord, may we do that, for myself included, to readjust. It's the Word of God, and Lord, your Word is like a mirror, and it helps us to make the right changes and allow you to transform our hearts and our lives. We praise you, we love you, and we worship you today. And help us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Good. Well, it's, as I said, it's wonderful to be here with you. And I was thinking that maybe I'm going to try to share my PowerPoint with you today. I think I can do that. Yes. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. And I'm going to share this with you. And make sure that it comes up for you. There. That's good. Okay. You've probably seen a bunch of stuff that I didn't expect you to see. Anyway, let's see. Ah, there we are. There we are. And so what I'd like you to, can someone lift up their, give me a thumbs up that you can see this pretty good? Okay. Good. Okay. Number one, today I just want to talk about being a father and what our legacy is, our legacy as mothers and fathers. But it is a very important thing that we understand what true fatherhood is and what our legacy is. We see this beautiful picture of a child here, and with a little hand in a mother's hand and a father's hand. Now, for some of you, you have more than one child, you know, multiple children, and that would mean four little hands. But I think the sentiment is that we have that, and that was, you know, that was you or me at one time when we were little children, and now we're the ones with the outstretched hand and holding our wife's hand, and then a little one being a part of that, or maybe a grandfather. That's you and your wife and your grandchild. Each and every one of us have a great opportunity to be able to show what it is to be a true father and a true mother. Now, as we go through it today, what we're doing is honoring fathers.
Thank you for that. We don't want to
do that, do we? Where are we? Zoom here. Whoops, I can see the presenter slides. Let's so sorry about this. I want to be able to show you the. No, it's not that. Forgive me. Okay. Is that better? Is that better, Mark? If you can. It's okay. Thank you. And so what we see here is we see how fathers are, it's important to understand that as we honor fathers, father figures, fatherhood is a calling and it's a responsibility. It's a blessing and it's a legacy. And I just want to make sure that you understand that our my heart today is that what we do is we leave a legacy, not just what we leave behind, but what we live out. Now, I was thinking of something that I saw on a movie once, and I thought when I first heard it that there was a it was when I first heard it was, you know what, I'm going to just. Because it's a bit distracting if I have it on just the presenter slides. So, let's see. Forgive me, everybody, for this, but gonna just. I'll just leave it the way it is. So a legacy is not just what we leave behind, but what we live out. What does that mean? Well, this movie that I saw was when Bill and Hillary Clinton came along one time when they visited the UK for the first time. Tony Blair had just been elected to office. There we go. And Bill and Hillary Clinton, they when they went and they met up with the Blairs, one of the first things they said was, "We want to help you to help you build your legacy." And I thought, what an odd thing to say, build a legacy. Right from the get-go, you want to build a legacy. And I thought, that's a pretty self-centered thing. Now, in the world of politics, what is the desire to build a legacy? A desire to build a legacy is so that everyone will remember you as a great president or a great prime minister or as a great leader of your nation or within a CEO or whatever it is. But building a legacy as a father is one of the most wonderful things you can do, because it's not so much about fame or fortune. It's about what you build into your children and what the next generation is. And so that's what was being told, and that what was being taught by Bill and Hillary Clinton. But what we want to do is we want to do something totally different. We want to build into our families, correct? Now, what we want to do is build into what our family is and what our family means to each and every one of us. I'm sorry, I cannot see my slides, so that's why I need to, forgive me, everybody, for this. There we go. Okay. Okay. Now I got it. Okay. So what we want to look at, first of all, is God as a perfect father. In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." So God is our model of true fatherhood. He's compassionate, he's just, and faithful, as well as loving. And so that's what we want to build into the life of our children, into the life of our loved ones. But we have to, first of all, start with the fact that God is the perfect father. How does God the Father show compassion to us as his children? God shows compassion to us in that the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We see his compassion in the way that he dealt with the people of Israel in their rebellion. We can see his God as a perfect father in the life of the Lord Jesus, and as he explained the parable of the prodigal son. We can see the life of God and as the perfect father in so many different ways. And so what I would like to show you is that, oh, here we go. This is better. Now I'm cooking. Okay. So these are the things that are very important, that he's compassionate, loving, and faithful. But God's compassion, we understand, it's his love is tender and it's patient. Fathers are called to show this the same kind of care. And when we love our children, when we care for our children, they will thrive under our love. They will thrive under our care. They will thrive as we show the compassion as well that God has shown for us. Children thrive under love, not fear. And so if there's anybody here that maybe your experience with your own father has been less than normal or less than desirable, I want to say to you, I'm sorry. But I want to let you know that God can transform lives. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, my grandfather, and I believe I've told this story before at Parkcrest, but it's worth telling again, is that my grandfather, his name was Les Jones. There would be some folks there that would know him, especially I think Andrew and Esther would have known him or known of him. And my grandfather was a young man, about 18, 19 years of age, and he was working on ships. From a very young age, he worked on ships. And the last ship he worked on was a ship that was run by his uncle. And his uncle treated him awful. His uncle treated him terribly. But one of the things that had happened to my grandfather in his life is that his own father had abandoned the family, left his mom in Wales along with his siblings, and they were completely abandoned by their father. He had come to Canada. They didn't know where he was. They had never heard anything from him. And what happened was my grandfather, he was not having fun on the ship because he was being mistreated by his uncle, who wanted to make sure that he wasn't giving any favors to a family member. So he went the other way and treated him worse. But what we see in in my grandfather is that he made his way to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and he met a man called Mr. Evans. And Mr. Evans, he told him his story, and Mr. Evans says to my grandfather, he says, "You're looking for the wrong father." And from there, he taught him about the love of the Father, the love of God, and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And my grandfather turned his life over to Jesus Christ. And from there, he grew and became truly a man of God. He became a good father. He had a good family. And he also became an individual who was a spiritual father to many. He's passed on his legacy through the love to bestowed to my father to myself, and I trust that I'm doing the same thing for my children. God can transform, and children can thrive under love, not fear. Now, what's a true fatherhood without proper discipline? We have to look at this, what you may think a negative side, but Hebrews 12, verses 7 to 11 says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and love and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." In short, we need boundaries. We all need boundaries, especially children. They need to know what's right and wrong. They need to know what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do. You know, if from a young age, a child is allowed to go out and there's no, you know, no curfew, or there's no, clean up your room, or there's no boundaries for them, even the way they speak to authority or speak to parents or even treat one another, there is no boundary. They're going to become an undisciplined, raw kind of an individual. One of the outcomes of the Civil War down in the United States was that there was a bunch of young men who grew up after or at the tail end of the Civil War, and some of them were fatherless. They became completely undisciplined, and a lot of them moved out west. And that's where we get a lot of our Westerns from. And it was a very short period of time. It wasn't a lengthy period of time that the West was sort of this wild place where everyone had their own law. But through that time, you know, we know of Billy the Kid and Jesse James, and we hear of it, a lot of them were that way because of the fact that they had been fatherless, and they had been taught by, or they had been taught by men, including their own fathers, who were actually cruel people, and that they had no inclination towards the goodness and the discipline of God. Discipline is healthy, and God disciplines, the Bible tells us, those he loves. He also helps us understand that discipline is correction. It's not condemnation. Discipline is correction. It's not condemnation. Now, let's look at what Romans, it's not on here, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says the following. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." What does it say? "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Christ died for us. He gave his life. Well, we're in the family of God and we believe him. His discipline is not to be, it is for correction. It's for helping shape our behavior, not to condemn us. And so I want to really encourage you to understand this in the fullness of what it is. It doesn't mean that we don't look at something that's sinful and we don't say that's wrong, but the condemnation that comes with it is that when there's absolutely no recourse, there's no grace, that's what condemnation can be. And you live in that particular space of being condemned. That's an awful place to live. When people live and they've made a mistake in their lives and they've committed an error and they are shunned to that, that's the identity they have, you know? And what happens often is there are individuals who are maybe even put in prison, and they live in isolation all their lives. They live in that identity. Well, that's not what God wants. He wants results. He wants to discipline us so that we can become better citizens, better sons, better daughters, better children of God. But that's also downloaded into our example as fathers. Now, fathers shape character through consistent love. Fathers shape character through consistent love. In other words, as you are constant in your love for one another, as you are constant towards your children, their character will be shaped by it. My father shaped a lot of my character today. My father was shaped through the character of his father. But remember, ladies, you're not off the hook. You also are involved in a very significant way in how you shape character. But since it's Father's Day, that's the angle we're coming from. But you're not off the hook, all you lovely sisters and ladies there that are visiting. We just want to encourage you that God is interested not only in discipline so that we can become better, but he also wants us to remind us that he is faithful, God's faithfulness. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 30 to 31 says this: "The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place." The people of Israel, they had been rebellious. They had gone against God's purpose and they wandered in the desert. But God reminded them that I brought you to the promised land. And he says, I have been faithful. How was God faithful? A cloud that protected them from the harsh weather of the desert by day. A pillar of fire by night to light them and keep enemies and predators away. There were so many things that God did. He provided food in the morning, food in the evening for the children of Israel. He was faithful to them. In the same way that God carried his children through the wilderness, fathers must be present, faithful, and sacrificial. God was present in the cloud. He was present in the pillar of fire. Those are things that we can truly appreciate about fathers. And God's faithfulness is an example of that. Now that's downloaded to us as mothers and fathers, and especially fathers today. We must be present. In other words, you go to your children's games. You get interested in what they're going to do. My sons, they still play soccer and hockey and a few other sports. And you know what? I go to their games. I'm one of the only dads there. You know, there's a bunch of wives there and a bunch of, you know, but here's dad. And my kids, my boys, they know. And they tell me, hey, dad, we're playing here. They know that I like to go. Why? Well, even at the age that I am and the age that they are as young adults, I want to go. I want to be a part of their lives. And I want to be present. I was there through their younger years. You know, and took them to countless games. I was present. And I encourage you to be faithful and sacrificial. What does that mean? That we give of ourselves, that we give of our time, and we give. And sometimes it means that we're going to cut out some of the things that maybe we want to do. I mean, how many times do we want to stay at home and, you know, do some project at the house, or even watch something on TV, or even go out with one of our friends? But it's important that your child knows you're number one, you're important, and I will be faithful to you, and I will be there, I will be present, and I will give of my time, my effort, my money, whatever it is, so that you can become the person that I believe God wants you to be. But what is the legacy of a godly father? Well, it's more than money or success. It's more than money or success. Yes, money's good. Success is good. I'm not preaching against those things. What I'm preaching about is the fact that it is the legacy of a godly father is better than money or success. A godly father also leaves a spiritual imprint. What does that mean? Well, my father, whenever I go to Chile, there's so many men that come up to me and they'll go, your dad left a big imprint. He left, they'll say it in Spanish, your father left una huella. It's called a huella. And he, his footprint of godly leadership and integrity, he left it. And that's what a godly father does. If you, at this point in your life, you have not been a godly father, and you have not left a spiritual imprint on your child's life, today is the day you can start. First of all, by, if you're not a Christian, to receive the forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, to start being a man of God, going to church, living a life that the Bible teaches you. Find out how to be a godly father. Ask the men that are that go to that church. I know a couple of those individuals, men that I see and I respect. They have been godly fathers. They have been examples. My friends there at Park Crest Chapel. And go ask them, how do I leave a spiritual imprint in the life of my child? I remember my dad, it was a time when, you know, we didn't have Zoom, and my dad was a young boy, and probably in his mid-teen years. And my grandparents lived on East 41st Street near Fraser, right on 41st. And they used to go to a church called the South Main Street Gospel Hall. And there was one day, there was a lot of snow. And it was, so my grandfather said, we're going to walk to the meeting tonight. We're going to go to church. It was a Sunday night or a weeknight meeting, I don't know. And during the time that they were in the service, it had started to snow and wind, and it was a real storm, a real snowstorm. The family all lined up behind my grandfather and followed him in his footsteps to get home. They would put their feet where my grandfather had put his feet. That was the spiritual imprint that he was leaving, or the imprint that he was leaving. Well, we can do that spiritually, and I want to encourage you. Also, we leave our values, our faith, our character that will endure beyond this life. I'm still quoting things that my father said to me or my grandfather and saw how he acted. I'm still being able to tell stories about how my grandparents and how my parents acted in certain situations that have helped me spiritually in my life, their values, their faith, and their character as well. Now, what does a father do? The legacy of a godly father is spiritual leadership. And we can see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9, it says, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, before we read a little bit more, and you can stop reading now, listen to me. What does it mean? It means here that the children of Israel were given this opportunity to teach their children, and they were encouraged by God. And he says, these are the things that I'm going to command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, at all times, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That's what they often did. Even today, you'll see certain things that'll be attached to a very Orthodox Jew that remind them there are certain prayers, certain sayings, certain things, scriptures that they will be reminded. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know, maybe outside of your house, you don't have like a big sign. There's some people that do. But in your home, do you have a verse that's up? Do it for your children. Put a verse up, you know. I have a verse in my house that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I have other verses in other spots, or sayings, spiritual sayings that my children see on a regular basis, and it's embedded into their heart and mind. It was like that in my home. I encourage you to do that in your home. That's part of spiritual leadership. Teach God's word every day in your life. Every day in your life. That means do you have a family devotional, a time that you and your children sit and you read the word together, you explain the word of God. I remember being in one home where the preacher, he'd read 5 chapters and then he would explain some things. But I'll tell you, he had lost me after 10 verses, right? I thought to myself, this isn't cool. No, don't bore your children. Don't, get a family devotional, you know, make it fun. Act out the parables. Do stuff that will entertain your child and at the same time teach them godly values and help them understand that the scriptures are valuable for you today. Live it at home in your conversation and by example. That's what this verse entails. Teach it in your everyday life and also live it out in conversation and by example. Another thing is to model integrity. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." The righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. What happens here? Well, kids imitate what they see, not just what they hear. Kids imitate what they see, not just what they hear. Integrity builds trust and respect. Integrity builds trust and respect. Kids imitate what they see, and then also integrity. What does that mean? Well, if you don't mind, I'll give you an example from my life. A few years ago, my children were all young adults or late teens by this time. And near where we live in Ladner, there's a shopping mall called Tawasson Mills. And there's the Bass Pro Shops, which is a pretty cool store. But right beside, there's a bowling alley. And in that bowling alley, we used to go. And it was a good little bowling alley. And we'd go for a family outing. And so I remember we went bowling. We all had something to drink and then and something to munch on. And as we're driving home, I'm driving, and all of a sudden I said, "Hold on, I don't think I paid for what we ate and drank." Oh my goodness. I said, "Oh, I got to go back." And so at one point, I thought, well, do I need to go back? And I had spoken it out. I said, "No," I said, "we need to go back." And one of the main reasons I did it, it's the right thing to do, but also had my kids in the car. I wanted them to see that you do the right thing. A lot of people might have walked away and forgotten and they couldn't do anything about it. But I went back and I remember the lady. She goes, "Thank you so much." She was a single mother. We knew her and she'd been going through a rough time. To jip her out of her pay and her tip would have been awful. And so it's important to model integrity. But also, I want to let you know that it's important to be encouraging and affirming, to be encouraging and affirming. Now, how do we do that? How do we encourage and affirm our children? Well, Ephesians 6 and 4 says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Don't provoke your children. Don't harass your children. Don't look for ways. Now, sometimes we tease our kids and I'm not talking about that. It's when you provoke them, when you're imposing rules that are so difficult, or imposing rules upon them that you're not living by. When you're imposing upon them, certain things that are really out of their control. And we need to be very careful with that. I think all of us understand what it is to provoke a child to anger when we do things. Now, sometimes children get angry when they don't like the discipline. I'm not talking about that. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So you have to be a balanced individual. One of the things that can provoke children is how we deal with things spiritually. I have a friend of mine. I love my friend, but he does some things that really, really bother me. And he spiritualizes every conversation. And I've said to him, buddy, I said, you can't do that. Like be normal. You don't have to, you know, bring out a verse or give a spiritual example of everything, you know. And he did that to his children. And I think his children have rebelled somewhat. And so I think that he did that thinking he was doing the right thing. But I think we need to be balanced and normal and have normal conversations with our children. But do it under the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Be a source of blessing, not a burden to your children. And the next point I want to make is also that what you say will shape the identity. It will shape the purpose in your child's life. And so words do shape identity. They do shape purpose. So when you tell your children you love them, they feel secure. When you tell them that they can do something, you know, be sure you do it properly. Now, don't lie to your children. Don't tell them that they're awesome when they're not really that great at something, okay? You need to be honest with them. And I've met too many parents that, you know, or kids. Like, there's a young fellow here that I deal with, and his parents told him he was brilliant. Today, the guy is like this nervous wreck, and he doesn't do anything in life. And the main reason is that he's got these deep-seated fears, and so it's affected his mental stability. And I feel terrible for him. And you know, he struggled to get a job. He struggled in life. And so don't tell your child things that are not true about themselves. Be honest, be clear, and help them and guide them into maybe a job or a discipline or study that is based on who they are. And but if your child can reach for the stars, get that they will. But be honest with them. I remember one of my sons. He wasn't as good at basketball as his brother, and I remember sitting with him, and he's tears rolling down his face going, he goes, excuse the expression. He goes, Dad, you mean I'm not that good? You mean I suck at basketball? And I said, no. I said, no. What it is you and me, we're just average at basketball. Your brother, he's just a little bit better. Now, I was honest with him. It hurt him, but I helped him understand. And you know what? We found another sport. He played volleyball. He was great at it, better than his brother. It wasn't that I was comparing them. It was just you had to channel him into the discipline and the thing that he wanted to be. And so I just want to let you know that words shape their identity and purpose. How many times have you and I read the scriptures and have been encouraged by them? Well, God, through his word, he helps us and he identifies and he helps shape our lives through the word of God, and he gives us purpose. Now, fathers do fall short, and there are people that have lacked goodly fathers. And I don't know if there's anybody here that maybe you have not had a good father. And as I said at the beginning, I'm very, very sorry. But my prayer is that you will understand that God wants to work in your life. He wants to help you. And you know what? Just as a story about my grandfather, he didn't have a good earthly father, but he saw the Father in heaven, and the Father in heaven transformed his life. God is the perfect Father, and we can all run to. That is a wonderful thing. Now, the church can provide spiritual fatherhood and healing in our lives. And so look up to those men and women in the church that can truly provide true examples of what it is to be a good father and a good husband. And for you that don't have children, you can still be a good a good father figure to a nephew, a niece, maybe a child at the church. There's lots of ways that you can build into children's lives. I've seen single guys go up to Bible camp. I have a good friend of mine. He's a wonderful guy. And he has been a single man all his life, but he has built in more to people in his life through his fatherhood and his ways, and he has built it into many young people. In fact, some of those young people that became Christians, that he was a school teacher. He told me, I walked a young lady down the aisle. He says, what a privilege that was for me to walk her down the aisle. That is a wonderful thing. When fathers fall short, God will provide according to his purposes. Now, this is a call to fathers today. There's four things. First of all, be present. Your presence matters. Be present in your child's life. Even when you're sitting there, and I made this mistake a couple times. My wife got after me when my little boy was young, and I was looking at the TV, and she took a picture of us. It was a random picture. It was just more of what my child was doing. But she says, look at this picture. Where are your eyes? She says, you're looking at the TV. She was right. He was there, but I wasn't present. And I regret that. Now, I was able to correct it. And you can correct that as well. Go to those games. You know, go to the basketball game. They're just little kids. And they don't know how to play. Go to soccer. They don't know how to play. Be there. You know, the moment they kick the ball, they're looking at you. Did I do it well? That's a wonderful thing when you are present. Another thing is that be prayerful. Be prayerful. Pray for your children. Intercede for them. Be intentional. Don't drift. Lead with purpose. Don't like, you know, oh, well, I'm going to go this way or that way. Be stable for your children. Also, leave a spiritual legacy. Today, my grandfather, my father have left spiritual legacy, and I'm hoping that I'm leaving a spiritual legacy for my children as well. I'm far from perfect as a father, believe me. I have failed miserably at times. I've not done everything that I have placed up here today, and I'd be the first to tell you. But I'm trying, and I will try till the day I die, and I want to encourage you as well. Now, what is God the Father's example? Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says this, he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their father, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. God will do that. His example is that he will foment it in such a way that there will be a uniting of family. But when we have to, but what it is we have to fall under the guidance, the discipline, and the purposes of God. Let God reshape your family. If it needs to change in its shape, let God do it. But bring him in. Ask for help. Read books, whatever it is. There's so much available so that you can and I can become better fathers. Let fathers rise up in strength. And a father's legacy begins now. Maybe there's a young person here and you say, well, I don't know, I'm not even dating. I don't, you know. Your legacy begins now. You begin your integrity journey now. Have integrity in all that you do. Be the person of God when no one else is looking. Don't start it when you become a father or a husband. It begins today. That goes for young women. It goes for anybody in the audience today. These are great principles. Begin your legacy of what you want people to say about your life. And did it reflect the character of God? Did it show Christ to others? And I want to encourage you with that. May the Lord bless what has been said today. And as we close, I want to challenge each and every one of you to truly follow the example of the Father for the glory of God and for the blessing. If you don't know Christ, begin there. And believe me, God will guide. It doesn't mean it's easy, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be a walk in the park. And children can bring great grief, and sometimes parents can do all the right things, and still the children turn out in a different way. But at least what you want to do is begin and try to leave a legacy so that they have a fighting chance to become followers of Jesus and also great citizens, but children that truly honor God. Let us go in for being good fathers and encourage you as mothers and everyone else that is there. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these moments we've been together. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for fatherhood and what it represents. May we know what it is in every way, according to your purposes. Bless each brother, sister, and each person that is there at Parkrest today. Watch over them for good, we pray, in the precious and most worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless you. May he keep you. And may his face shine upon you and give you peace both today and for the days to come. Thank you.
Thank you. We go from here. Let's just go.